السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عباد الله، أخرج مسلم في صحيحه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر. فكيف تكون الدنيا سجن، والسجن إنما يكون في حيز من المكان لمدة من الزمان يمنع فيه السجين المتع والتحرك كما يشاء، وهذا إنما ينطبق على السجون المعهودة التي يقضي فيها السجين مدته ليخرج إلى العالم الفسيح فيرى فيه ما كان حرم من رؤيته حال سجنه من مناظر جميلة وسماع أصوات تلتذ بها مسامعه، ويتذوق من صنوف الطعام ما كان محروما منه مدة بقائه في السجن، ويستمتع بأهله استمتاعا لم يكن متهيئا له حال سجنه. هذا حال السجين بين الحيطان. فكيف يكون المؤمن سجينا وهو إنما يعيش طليقا لا يمنع حركته سجان ولا تقيد أركانه أغلال؟ الدنيا سجن المؤمن لأنها تقيده عن كل ما حرم الله عليه، فهو كالسجين الذي لا تصل يده إلى ما حرم عليه أخذه فيقوم إيمانه مقام الأغلال المكبلة له الحاجزة إياه عن التعاطي للحرام، وكالسجين الذي لا تصل عينه إلى محرم ينظر إليه لكونه بين حيطان أربعة لا يرى إلا ذلك، فالمؤمن كذلك يمنعه إيمانه من النظر إلى ما قد حرم عليه، وهو كالسجين الذي لا يمكنه أن يستمع إلى صوت إلا إلى صوت نفسه الأمارة بالسوء، وصوت سجانه الذي يقوم مقام من ينهى نفسه عن الهوى ليكون جزاؤه جنة المأوى. فيقوم الإيمان عند العبد الصالح مقام ذلك السجان، فيكبح جماح نفسه عن تعاطي ما حرم عليه وما فيه رداه، وهو كالسجين الذي حجزته أصفاده وأسوار سجنه عن المشي على قدميه إلى ما قد يرغبه من الحرام، فهو يمنعه إيمانه من المشي إلى ما قد حرم عليه من الأماكن والأعمال، وهو كالسجين الذي لا يأبه بالأموال لكونه لا تفيده شيئا وهو رهن الاعتقال. وهكذا المؤمن يمنعه إيمانه من أي مكاسب مشبوهة وتجارة محرمة، فهو يدعها خوف الجليل وخوف يوم القيام الطويل. وهكذا يمنعه إيمانه من أن يسرف في صرف هذه الأموال في غير وجه يرضي الله عز وجل. وبالجملة أيها المؤمنون، فوجه الشبه بين المؤمن والسجين هو أن كل منهما لا يخلص إلى ما قد تشتهيه نفسه. السجين بين الحيطان يمنعه سجنه حتى مما هو مباح له أصلا، وذلك رغما عنه. وأما المؤمن فإنه هو من يمنع نفسه من تعاطي ما لا يحبه ربه، فهو يبتعد عن كل محرم بل وعن كل مكروه. بل وفي حالات بلوغ الإنسان مرتبة الإحسان يمتنع حتى عن كثير من المباح، كما قال عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما: إنا لنترك كثيرا من المباحات مخافة الوقوع في الحرام. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر. وقد وصف هو صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه الدنيا الفسيحة الضيقة الحلوة القذرة الممتعة المشقية، أم المتناقضات على الإطلاق. لم يرى التناقض مجتمعا في شيء اجتماعه في الدنيا يا عباد الله. فيولد مولود ويموت ميت، ويبرأ مريض ويمرض صحيح، ويسعد شقي ويشقى سعيد، ويغنى فقير ويفقر غني، كل ذلك في وقت واحد. ولذلك اجتمع فيها الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر والحر والبرد والقحط والمطر. وأما الآخرة فليس فيها من ذلك من شيء، إنما هي حلتان: حلة نعيم أبدي في الجنان، وحلة شقاء سرمدي في النيران. ولذلك يصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا بقوله: الدنيا ملعونة، ملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله وما والاه، وعالما أو متعلما. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو كانت الدنيا تزن عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى منها من كافر شربة ماء، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. وربنا عز وجل رب العزة جل في علاه يقول واصفا الدنيا في كتابه العزيز: ولا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. ويقول عنها أنها متاع، متاع قليل، وأن ما عند الله خير وأبقى. أسأل الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين التبصر بحقيقة الدنيا والاستعداد لما نقبل عليه من البرزخ والعرض والآخرة، وأن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا أجمعين، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الهادي إلى رضوانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وآله وأصحابه وإخوانه وأعوانه ومن تبعهم إلى يوم يبعث الله الناس يوم الدين للقائه. أما بعد عباد الله، يقول الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى: السجن الدنيا سجن المؤمن، الدنيا سجن المؤمن فيه تفسيران صحيحان، أحدهما أن المؤمن قيده إيمانه عن المحظورات والكافر مطلق التصرف، والثاني أن ذلك باعتبار العواقب، فالمؤمن لو كان أنعم الناس في الدنيا فذلك بالإضافة إلى مآله في الجنة كالسجن، والكافر عكسه، فإنه لو كان أشد الناس بؤسا في الدنيا فذلك بالنسبة إلى النار جنة ونعيم. وهذا التفسير الثاني أجاب به الإمام ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله تعالى وهو في موكبه لما كان قاضي القضاة في مصر ليهودي فقير اعترض له وسأله عن هذا الحديث، كيف تكون الدنيا سجن المؤمن وأنت في هذا الموكب وهذه النعم وجنة الكافر وأنا معدم فقير؟ فكان سبب إسلامه إذ بين له الإمام ابن حجر قائلا: هذا النعيم الذي أنا فيه إلى جنبي ما ينتظر المؤمن في الآخرة يعد سجنا، إذ ليس هو في الحقيقة بمتع، وإنما المتع هو ما يقوم يوم القيامة من تلك الجنان وحور العيان وكؤوس ملآلة بالخمر وأصوات جميلة تلتد بها المسامع وجوار ليس فيه ما ينغص العيش وصحبة من خير الصحب، وأعلى من ذلك وفوقه النظر إلى وجه ربنا الكريم عز وجل الذي لا تعدله نعمة بل ولا جميع النعم مجتمعة. نسأل الله أن يجعلنا وإياكم ممن يلتذون يوم القيامة بالنظر إلى وجهه الكريم. وأما الكافر فهو وإن كان في أموال وترف ونعيم في الدنيا فإنه إذا نظر إلى ما ينتظره في الآخرة يجد أنه كان في نعيم كبير، يجد أنه كان في نعيم كبير جدا وجنة، ولو كان فقيرا ولو كان فقيرا معدما، لأن ما ينتظره نار تلظى فيها الأصفاد من النار والمقامع من نار والشراب من نار والطعام زقوم، وليس هناك إلا نكد في نكد، وأعلى من ذلك غضب الرب عز وجل يمثله قول الراد عليهم: اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. وقد روى الإمام مسلم في صحيحه عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يؤتى بأنعم أهل الدنيا من أهل النار يوم القيامة، يعني الكفار، يؤتى بأنعم أهل الدنيا من أهل النار يوم القيامة فيصبغ أن يغمس في النار صبغة، ثم يقال: يا ابن آدم هل رأيت خيرا قط؟ هل مر بك نعيم قط؟ فيقول: لا والله يا ربي، هذا وهو قد كان في النعيم، قد كان في النعيم في الدنيا. ويؤتى بأشد الناس بؤسا في الدنيا من أهل الجنة، يؤتى برجل من أهل الجنة ممن كان في الدنيا فقيرا مريضا كسيرا هزيلا، لكن الإيمان خالط بشاشة قلبه، فيؤتى به يوم القيامة فيصبغ في الجنة صبغة، أي يغمس فيها غمسة، ثم يقال له: يا ابن آدم هل رأيت بؤسا قط؟ هل مر بك شدة قط؟ فيقول: لا والله يا ربي، ما مر بي بؤس قط ولا رأيت شدة قط تنسي تلك الغمسة ذلك البؤس وتلك الشدة التي عاشا في حياته الدنيا، كما أنست غمسة الكافر في النار كل ملذة كان تلذذ بها في الدنيا. عباد الله، يقول الخليفة الراشد علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه: ألا إن الدنيا قد ارتحلت مدبرة، والآخرة قد ارتحلت مقبلة، ولكل واحدة منهما بنون، فكونوا من أبناء الآخرة ولا تكونوا من أبناء الدنيا. اليوم عمل ولا حساب، وغدا حساب ولا عمل، وكل بنون يلحقون بأمهم يوم القيامة. اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا. اللهم اقطع عنا المطامع في الدنيا الدنية، واجعلها لنا إلى الآخرة مطية، واجعل قلوبنا بك اللهم رضية. عباد الله، إن الله قد جعل لكم ما يكفل لكم الوقاية من مزالق الدنيا الهوية، وذلك بذكر الله تعالى: فاجعلوا لسانكم رطبا من ذكره، واعلموا أن قلوبكم إنما تطمئن بذكره، واعلموا أن الصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هو من أعظم ما يرضى به عنكم الله، فأكثروا من الصلاة والسلام عليه، وأخلصوا أعمالكم لربكم، واجعلوها وفق هدي نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم، يحببكم ربكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، والله بما تعملون خبير.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
يعتذر النار تقارب وتنابر وشد خلل حاد من المناكب والأقدام، لا تدع الغرزات للشيطان. الله أكبر، رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء نحوا، سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى، وليسرك اليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم انت السلام انت السلام تبارك يا رب
الحمد لله، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه مصطفى، ما بعد. حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters to the translation of the khutbah of today, which is titled by This Worldly Life as a Prison for the Believer and a Paradise for the Disbeliever. The khutbah was begun, as you hear, as usual, by khutbah al-Hajjah, which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to open every khutbah of his with, for what it consists of, the clarification of realities and also emphasizing of the methods of strengthening the belief. And after that, I said that Imam Muslim reported in his Sahih on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." This worldly life is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. And then I made this question: how come the worldly life, the whole life, be a prison, while the prison that we know is only limited in space and in time, in terms of space and time? And in it, the prisoner is prevented from lots of enjoyments and movement as he wish, so he cannot have his enjoyments as he likes, and he cannot move as he wishes. And this description of the prison can only fit the prison that we know of today, which is surrounded by wall fence or whatsoever fence for that holds people inside it for a period of time. And after that, the prisoner comes out of it to the wide world to see what he was not allowed to see when he was in the prison, of the beautiful images and views and visions, and to hear what his ears can enjoy of the beautiful voices and sounds that he did not use to hear while he was in the prison, and to taste different type of delicious food, different type of delicious food, as he did not use to have except certain types of food while he was in the prison. And to enjoy his family, to enjoy his spouse, to enjoy his wife, to enjoy his wife, or the wife enjoys her husband, in a way better than that they used to have in the jail, which was very limited, if found. So, this is the situation of the prisoner of the prison that we know. But how come the believer be in a prison in this whole life? The believer is a prisoner in this life who's stopped from doing whatever others do because although he is free to move, he is free to do whatever he wants to do. There are no chains or cuffs on his hands to stop him, or on his feet to stop him moving. His eyes are not surrounded with walls, so he cannot see But everything is available in between his hands, before him. However, there is one main thing that prevents him from all this. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this worldly life is the prison of a believer, because it ties him and stops him and prevents him from everything that Allah Ta'ala made forbidden for him. From everything that Allah Ta'ala made forbidden for him. So it's only war. There are no chains, no fins, no whatsoever that can be a barrier that stops him from reaching what he wishes to reach. But there is a barrier from inside his heart. That is the faith of Allah. That is the faith of Allah. And he, the believer, is like the prisoner who his eyes cannot reach, who his hands cannot reach. Whatever is haram or forbidden for him to earn, the like of riba or gambling or cheating or stealing or robbing or whatsoever. Not because his hand is in chain, not because he is in the prison, meaning walls, but because his prison is inside him, inside his heart. His prison is the iman that he has, that stops him from going to whatever is haram of the incomes. And also he is like the prisoner who his eyes cannot reach whatever is forbidden for him to reach or to see. Not because he's surrounded by four walls that he cannot go beyond them, but it is because that he is a believer and his belief stops him from looking to whatever is forbidden for him. The believer is the like of a prisoner who cannot hear whatever voices that he likes. Music, songs, whatsoever, lies or whatsoever. Except that he can only hear his soul, which always calls him to do the wrong. The whispers of the shaitan. This still remains with him. But exactly like the prisoner who is between the walls, who the jailer stops him from going out to do whatever he wants to do, this believer, his soul still calls him to do wrong, but his iman resisted. His iman resisted this types of invitations of his soul that Allah described as ammara to bisu, calls or commands to do only the wrong. And there his iman comes to stop his soul from extending or from going to the desire. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. هذه سورة النازعات. And verily, for that person who feels the standing before Allah, before his Lord, so he commanded his soul to stop going to the desire. The believer is like the prisoner who is brought in his chains are inside the prison. And the walls and the fence of the prison surrounds him and stops him from walking wherever he likes, to wherever he likes to go to of the wrongdoing. And that is only because of his iman. The prisoner, the real prison stops him. The believer is a prisoner of his iman. His iman stops him. Exactly like the prison stops the prisoner, A believer's iman stops him from going to whatever is haram or forbidden for him to walk to discos, whatsoever haram places. So his iman stops him. Every time he wants to go, responding to the call and command of his nafs, ammaratun bisu, that soul that calls only to do wrong, whenever this soul calls to do wrong, his iman comes and stops him and acts like chain to hold him and stop him. The believer is like the prisoner, as the prisoner doesn't care of money. The prisoner who is in the prison does not care of that, how much money he has, because he is inside the prison. He cannot have nothing with this money. He cannot do nothing with it because he is arrested there. Likewise, the believer, his iman stops him from earning whatsoever unlawful. And doing whatsoever forbidden businesses. And that is because he fears Allah the Exalted. And he fears that long day when he is going to stand before Allah and nothing can benefit him then except his iman, which prevented him from whatsoever forbidden for him. And as a conclusion of that, the similarity between the believer and the prisoner is that every one of them is stopped from reaching whatever he wishes to do, or whatever the soul that calls for evil is stopped from doing. Because the one who is in the prison stops him. But the believer, his belief stops him. The prisoner who is in between the walls of the, and who is inside the prison, that one kind of stops him from reaching to sometimes even whatever permissible by the Sharia. He cannot reach it. He cannot reach it. Now, although it is permissible in the Sharia, but because he is in the prison stops him. He wants to see his father, his friends. There is a limited time. He cannot see them whenever he likes. He wants to see his wife, his children. There's a limited time. He cannot see them any time he likes. Now, so the believer is stopped. He is the one who stops himself from reaching whatever Allah Ta'ala dislikes. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like it, so he stops. He does not only stop himself from haram, but he even stops himself from what is called makruh, dislike. Not only from haram, which is clear haram that all Muslims agree, khamr, zina, whatsoever, this all Muslims agree that it is haram. But he even stops himself from whatsoever is called makruh, dislike. As Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, that we used to abandon or avoid many things which were permissible for us, just fearing that we fall into what is non-permissible. So, that is the meaning of what the Prophet ﷺ said, this worldly life is the prison for the believer and the paradise for the disbeliever. And he ﷺ said, describing this life, saying that if this life were equal in weighing a wing of a mosquito, Allah Ta'ala would never allow a kafir to have a drink or a drop of water drunk. But it has no value before Allah. This whole worldly life has no value before Allah. And that's why Allah Ta'ala doesn't care of it. Allah Ta'ala doesn't care of it and the disbelievers who enjoy in it. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدنيا ملعونة ملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله وما والاه وعالما أو متعلما. This worldly life is cursed, meaning it has no value. It is rubbish. It has no value. And everything in it has no value. Whatsoever you see valuable, it has no value at, in real. In real, it has no value. Except the remembrance of Allah. Except the remembrance of Allah, or a scholar who teaches people, or a student of knowledge who seek knowledge from the scholars. These are the things that have value. Other than that, there is nothing with value. And Allah Ta'ala described this whole worldly life saying, whatever enjoyment, verily the enjoyment of this worldly life is considered to be nothing. It is only nothing. It only deceives. It only deceives people to make them understand that it is something big, but it is nothing. It is nothing. And that's why Allah Ta'ala said, let not this worldly life deceive you with the attraction of it. As for that, what Allah Ta'ala prepares for the believers in the day of resurrection is the real life. This worldly life is the place of the opposites, of the contradictions. Day and night, sun and moon, hot and cold, birth and death, happiness and sadness, richness and poverty, etc., etc. All this you see in this worldly life. And maybe with yourself, you alone can see all this in your life, which is short. So this life can never be always good, can never be nice. Only when you be a real pious person. That is the time when this world become nice, because you get use of it to build up your other life. While the other life, we don't have day and night. We don't have sun and moon. We don't have hot and cold. We don't have sadness and happiness. Yes, you see them all, but not in one place. One place has the nice life, and the other has the miserable life, terrible life. Nice life is in the Jannah, the paradise. You don't see day and night. You don't get sick. You don't get tired. You don't get worried. You don't get hungry. You don't get thirsty. But all enjoyments. And the fire, the person there is always hungry, always thirsty, always worried, always in trouble, always in punishment. In the Jannah, there is the best grace or blessing that Allah Ta'ala bestows on His slaves. In the Jannah, you accompany the good people. Your neighbors are good people. Your family are good people. And above that, you see the face of your Lord once a week, every Friday. You see the face of your Lord, which even all the blessings and ni'am all together does not reach to equal or come even closer to that grace, to that blessing that Allah gives, which is allowing you to see His face. That is a great, great ni'mah. Great, great blessing. In the fire, the company is bad. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Fir'aun, these bad people. The neighborhood is bad. Shaitan and whoever. The food is bad. The family are bad. Friends bad. Above that all, when they cry and say, we repent, O Malik, let your Lord get us out, the only answer going to be given to them is, اخسأوا فيها. Be low there. Be lower. Be humiliated there. And don't speak up again. Don't speak up to us. So that is the differences between the Jannah and the fire. So in the hereafter, the believer is the one who is in blessing, and the disbeliever and the wrongdoers are the ones in the prison, in the real prison, which is the fire. That was the first part of the khutbah. While the second part began by praising Allah Ta'ala, raising the praise to Allah Ta'ala, and sending peace and blessings upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then I said that Ibn Qayyim Rahimah Allah Ta'ala said in his book Bada'i al-Fawa'id, Volume 3, page 177, he said that Ad-Dunya Sijnul Mu'min, this worldly life is the prison of the believer. There are two explanations of this statement of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first one is that the believer is tied or stopped by his iman from going or doing whatsoever is forbidden for him, while the kafir is free. He has nothing to stop him. He doesn't have the belief. He's free and he goes to whatever he likes. That is the first explanation, which was the first khutbah, the first part of the khutbah about. The second, he said, it is by comparing this worldly life by the hereafter, by the akhirah. So the believer, even if he was the most happy person in this world, in this worldly life, most rich person, the richest person, most healthy person, when he comes, when he looks to what Allah prepares for him in the Jannah, all these graces and blessings considered to be nothing. Nothing at all. And the kafir is the opposite. The disbeliever is the opposite. Even if he was in a very terrible life, in this worldly life, yet, if he sees what Allah prepared for him in the fire, he will consider this life to be a place of blessing and pleasure. And this second interpretation or explanation from Ibn Qayyim was said by Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the author of Fath al-Bari, as you know, and many other books, the great Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was one day moving in Egypt, as he was the head of the judges of Egypt, and you know this position, soldiers surrounding him, and he is in a big horse and like that. So a poor, very poor Jew man came to him and stopped him. He said, Ya Ibn Hajar, you Muslims say that your prophet says to you that this worldly life is the prison of a believer. and a paradise for a disbeliever. But I see you in the pleasure. And I am poor. He said, yeah, I tell you what. If you compare to what I am in today with what is prepared for the believer in the Akhirah, you will find that I'm nothing in here. This is nothing. This is nothing. All what is in my hand of money and pleasure and this is nothing compared to what is in the Jannah. And if you look to yourself as a poor person, as a low person, kafir, compared to what Allah Ta'ala prepared for you in the fire, you will find that you are in a great, great, great prison. Now, and this meaning was said by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that on the day of resurrection, the most pleased person of this worldly life would be brought. The most pleased person. The one who had all the means of pleasure. He will be brought. But he is from the people of Jannah. Not the kuffar, a Muslim. A Muslim who was rich on this and this, power, everything. And he'd be dropped only once in the Jannah, like this, and taken away. Just like that, as fast as you drop something, or as you put your finger into the water and bring it out, as fast as you can. And then he would be asked, have you ever seen any pleasure? He'd say, no. I never was in pleasure. Why? Why he denies it? No, he forgot. Because of this pleasure now he had. Only for that one time, boring in the Jannah and brought out. Now, and the other side, they'll bring the most poor and unpleased person of this world, but from the people of fire. Sorry, I opposite, I shifted, yeah. Sorry. I say that they will bring one of the people who had the very miserable and terrible life in this worldly life from the believers. And he'd be put in the Jannah. And he'd be asked, have you ever seen anything terrible that bothered you? He said no. He said no. I never. He forgets because of that one time in the Jannah. And on the other hand, they'll bring. Sorry. No, it was correct what I said.
They bring the person who had a pleasure in this life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he would be put in a hellfire, not in the third paradise. He said he would be put in paradise.
No. Hadith يقول يؤتى بأنعم أهل الدنيا من أهل النار. من أهل النار. أيوه. فيصبح في النار السبعة. صحيح. I got confused. They will bring on the double resurrection one of the people of the fire who was in this worldly life of the best or the most pleased ones and be put in the fire for a second and then he'd be brought out in the fire. Now, and he'd be asked, have you ever had any pleasure? He said no. He'd forget that pleasure that he had all of his life, in this worldly life, because of that one time or few moments in the fire. And then they will bring one of the believers. And that was a disbeliever. A disbeliever who was very rich, very comfortable, very, very pleased in this worldly life. Be put for a second in the fire, He'll forget all that pleasure that he had. Now, they'll bring one of the people of the Jannah, meaning the believers. And he was in this worldly life very poor, very sick, very like that. Unpleased. And unpleased by the meaning, he is pleased with his Lord. He's a believer. But the life that he had is very terrible. And then he will be born in the Jannah for a second and brought out. And then he will be asked, have you ever seen anything terrible in your life? He'd say, no, I don't remember. I don't remember at all. So what does that mean? It means that nothing is, nothing of the pleasure is like the pleasure of the Jannah. And nothing of the hardship like the hardship of the fire. So you as a believer, if you are in trouble in this world, but you are a believer worshipping Allah, then you must not be sad. You must not be sad because Allah Ta'ala will replace it with a very enjoyable life, permanent life in the hereafter. And those kuffar would be replaced, their life would be replaced with very terrible, there is no comparison. And how terrible it is, the life of the hereafter for the kuffar. All the time in trouble. As we say, if he wants food, only thorns. If he wants drinks, only boiling water. If he wants to sleep, a bed of fire, a blanket of fire. If he wants to move, there are pillars of fire. Every time he moves, he hits here and here and here. And who is going to be around him? Only those bad people. Shaitan, Abu Lahab, Fir'aun, and these type of people. Now, but in the Jannah, no. In the Jannah, you are always happy. Nice clothes, nice family. If you want food, you don't go for it. You don't ask. You just think of it, and then it comes to you. Birds, which are barbecued. Fruits from whatsoever type, which you never have tasted or seen. Only the names. Bananas, here, bananas there, but it's not similar in reality. There is no comparison. Now, graves and graves, but not. And it comes to you. You don't go to it. You don't need to take off the skin. You don't need to clean. You don't need nothing. And if you want to drink, there are servants who look like diamonds and pearls. They just come to you with cups of silver and the drink you like. Wine, honey, water, milk, whatsoever you want. And these all are rivers running beneath you. And then you have al-Hur al-Ain, the woman of the Jannah. And much more beautiful than them, your wife, who was with you here in this world, if she was a believer, and died as a believer, she would be much more beautiful than them all. And she would be the queen of them. If you want to do a walk in your palace there, in the Jannah, you need the most fast horse and run on it for 100 years only to cut the distance of the shade of one of your trees. Look how much you are given. The lowest of the people of Jannah is given 10 times of what of the kings of this world is given. 10 times. It's not, you don't go and think of, for example, Bahrain, which is a very small kingdom. Now, you look for who was
who the king had the largest territory ever in life? Maybe Suleiman? Maybe Alexander Abdul Qarnay? No? They had largest territory. 10 times of that you are given. That is the lowest of the people of the Jannah. So it is very great reward. And then I ended up by reminding of what Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ali ibn Abi Talib, said, verily this worldly life has left us going to where Allah ta'ala wants it to go, meaning ending. And the other life, the akhirah, hereafter, is coming towards us now. It's coming towards us. Because what it is, ya ikhwan, you usually leave one grave to be buried in the other grave. Is it? You were in a grave when you were in the womb of your mother. That is a grave. You did not know nothing of outside. You did not hear nothing of outside. So that is the grave. Now you left that grave. You came to what? You came to life. Right? You came to life. Can you come back to that grave back? Can you come to that grave back again? No way. No one is born can come back to the womb of his mother. No way. Finish. You left it. Now you have to go through this way to the other grave. So now, every moment you are going far, far from that womb, going to the other womb of the earth, of the ground. Towards it. You're going there. And then what? That grave, once you enter it, you cannot come out of it. We said the first grave, once you come of it, you cannot go back to it. Now this other grave, once you enter it, you cannot come back of it. Khalas, finished. Finished. And not necessarily to be in it by the meaning you are buried, even if you are left on the surface of the earth, that is your grave. You cannot come back to life. Never. Never. So, that is the meaning of the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu. And then he said, verily for that there are children for each one of them. Meaning this worldly life has its own children. That she does not care about them. That she does not give them any care. She only misguides them. She only mistreats them. And the akhirah has its own children. That she takes care of them. And treat them nicely. And these people of the children of this worldly life will be the children of the fire in the hereafter. And the children of the Akhirah, of the hereafter, will be the children of the paradise, meaning they entered paradise. And that's why he said, so be from the children of the Akhirah, the hereafter, and don't be from the children of this world, meaning all your worries be about this world. And then he said, today is only amal, only acting, doing, working for the Akhirah, doing good deeds for those believers, and these believers doing their bad deeds for that what they're going to see in the hereafter. And then he said, وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. Today amal wala hisab. Today only actions. Everyone doing whatever he likes. Whatever he chooses. Is there anybody questioning you today? No one is questioning you. Only registering, only recording, only recording. The angels are recording. None of the angels ask you any question today. But once you die, the moment that your soul leaves your body, you're going to be questioned. That is the first 3 questions you have. As if you pass them, finish. you're good to the Jannah. If you fail, then to the fire. So, that's why Ali is reminding of that. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who this dunya did not take them away from the akhirah and doesn't become their main worries and the end of their knowledge. And may Allah Ta'ala not put on us by our sins who does not fear Him and does not show mercy with us. I ask Allah Ta'ala to cut our hopes of this dunya, of this worldly life, and make our hopes in the hereafter, and make our hearts pleased with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I said, reminding that the best of what can guarantee you from, guarantee you protection from falling into this worldly life, which only ends you to the fire, is the remembrance of Allah. So make your tongue always wet of the remembrance of Allah. And make your heart always settled with the remembrance of Allah. And know that there is nothing. And know that As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulillah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the best of your deeds that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with you for. So do as much as you can of as-salah and as-salam upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And make all of your deeds sincerely for Allah, and make them all adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that Allah Ta'ala will love you and forgive your sins, and Allah knows all what you do. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. Any question? I advise this person who is a believer, but his belief does not stand and strongly enough to stop him from doing this desire that the soul which calls to evil always whisper with. I advise him to build up his iman, strengthen his iman. How? I think in one of the khutbas I mentioned and I called it Mawarid al-Iman, or the sources of Iman. By, first of all, learning, studying the knowledge properly, gradually. Because Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Verily, those who fear Allah the most amongst mankind are the people of knowledge. People of knowledge, people who study about, learn about Allah. Because as they say, مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ. Who knows Allah best, he fears Allah best. And the second, do as much, try to make your obligatory worships as perfect as you can. As perfect as you can. In times and in ways of how to perform them. Times and performance. And then, by doing the optional, the easy optional worships. Don't go to the hard optional worships. People want to start with fasting. I want to fast. He never used to fast. Type, okay, we ask him. Have you done dhikr? Do you do the dhikr of morning and evening regularly? No. So, akhi, dhikr is easier than fasting. Why you leave the easy one? And you try to do the hard one. Because this one way of the shaitan makes you do the hard one so you stop all. He doesn't want you to start with the easy one. Because once you do the remembrance, your iman increases in your heart. And once your heart is full of iman, believe me, you will be like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and Abu Darda, when they tried to fast all days and no breaking. And stand for prayers all night and no breaking. But Rasulullah ﷺ directed them not to do that. But why they did that? Why they wanted to do that? Because their hearts full of iman. Full of iman. And now, when we are 15 centuries away from Rasulullah's time, we cannot have the same iman of the Sahaba by only seeing those Sahaba, by only seeing Rasulullah, they can have iman. Their iman increases just by looking to Rasulullah. Rather than to sit to him and hear from him and, you know. Today, although we are this far from Rasulullah's time, but we still can increase our iman by easy things first, gradually. Remembrance. Morning and evening. And all the time, do remembrance of Allah. Tasbih, dhikr, all type of dhikr. Tasbih, istighfar, ta'leel. And after that, if you do that constantly and in good way, then read the Quran. Read the Quran. Try to give some time for Quran of your day. As many people today, they don't know, they don't see the Quran except, rarely, very time to time, and maybe only Ramadan. And you see them in Ramadan, sitting in the masajid, holding the Quran, like this. Why? They don't care about the Quran, they just want to finish it. Just want to finish reading the Quran in Ramadan. Although this is something better than not, but still this is not good. And they do that because they did not get use of reading the Quran. As the person, every day, morning, after Fajr, he prays with the Jama'ah and remains in the masjid, doing the adhkar of after Salah, and then the adhkar of Fajr, morning, and then recite, whatsoever ayat Allah Ta'ala allows him to recite in the remaining time until the sun rises, and then he waits for 10 or 15 minutes after the sun rises, and then he prays two rak'ah. Believe me, he will have tremendous iman. Full of iman. His iman will be, overflowing. So everybody surrounding him will have iman, wallahi. Because the believer affects on the others. Wallahi affects on the others. And that's why Rasulullah said, change your companionship. Change your companions. Because the effect, the good friend is not like the bad friend. Once who calls you to good, once who does good, encourages you. So, he starts with easy things. Sadaqah. Many people say, we go give sadaqah, we don't know who to give sadaqah to. Okay. There are people by the traffic light. Oh, these people are liars. So, when are you going to give sadaqah? When are you going to give sadaqah? The Prophet ﷺ told Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, whenever you cook meat, try to make the soup much and give to your neighbors. He did not say to the poor neighbors, give to your neighbors. This would be increasing your iman. Abdullah ibn Umar or Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, whenever he used to slaughter a sheep or whatsoever animal, he asked his slaves or children to take part of it to his Jewish neighbor. His neighbor was Jew. And that increases his iman. So, you do all these things. And if you go gradually with the easiest thing to yourself, and many people today, we say, the Prophet ﷺ said, تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. They are in Jeddah. Do Hajj and Umrah frequently, as much as you can. And they are living in Jeddah. And Jeddah is only, as you see, maybe 70 or 60 kilometers away from Mecca. But they don't go. Why? Because they don't have the himma, eagerness.
Dedication.
Huh?
Eagerness or dedication.
Okay, eagerness or dedication to go. Every time they want to go, maybe I don't find parking there. Maybe it's crowded. oh, maybe I come back late, oh, I have this, let me sleep a while. And then he sleeps and he must have long, and then he says, oh, I missed it. Why? Because he did not have, as I said, praying Fajr and wait. You know that? When you pray Fajr and wait in the masjid, doing dhikr and reading Quran until the sun rises, and then after the sun rises for 10 to 15 minutes, then you pray two rak'ah, that is a reward of Hajj and Umrah. As perfect of Hajj and Umrah can be done. A complete reward of Hajj and Umrah. So you can do that every day. And then one day you will find that you cannot resist to go to Mecca. You will just want to go to Mecca. Why? Because you already done that and generated your iman in your heart. So by that, and by these things, inshallah, by visiting the graves, doesn't cost you nothing. Here in Jeddah there are many graves. And everywhere, in London, and everywhere. You may pass by just for a while, for a second, for a minute. Stop, come down, think. You don't just go there with no any thinking. You have to think, who these people are? Who were they? They were strong people. They were Muslims praying, I am not praying. They were kuffar who said that they're not going to die, they're not going to be resurrected, but they are there now. What can guarantee me not to be there? You know? Like that, so you increase your iman. Small things. Now when you visit the grave, you pay nothing. It's not that hard thing to do. Easy. So gradually, little, until the person, inshallah, becomes strong. Allah A'lam.
لا
In regard to the brothers and sisters on Wuzik and Paltok, if you have a question regarding the topic of today, you can please on Wuzik type 1 as usual, or on Paltok raise your hand.
تنصر الأنصار والمهاجرة.